only thing I can say is that we don't know whether it means empty or devoid. They just make it up. Meaning we know that it's a general idea, but there's a different. I don't know for sure that one means empty and one means devoid. That was their way of not repeating the word.
This is in the 20th century by Walter Benjamin, the essay, all translations automatically.
Amar Rav Gittel, the last line, Zayin Amid Beis. Amar Rav Gittel Amar Rav, the last line of Zayin Amid Beis. Nayin Shinishboim Lekayim Es HaMitzvah. How do I know a person's allowed to swear to keep a mitzvah? Zuckrash Grash, what's the problem in swearing to keep a mitzvah? Why do I need a source that a person can swear to keep a mitzvah? Dr. Rush, and we're not afraid that he'll transgress it. How do I know that it's a good thing to swear to keep a mitzvah, and we don't say stay away from that because you might not keep the mitzvah, and then you also transgress what you swore? Shenemar, David HaMelech said, Nishbati v'akayma lishmar mishmatei tzitzecha. I swore, and then I keep. V'akayma, I will keep, to watch the rules of your righteousness. So we see that David HaMelech swore to do mitzvahs. And therefore, we see it's a good thing to swear to do mitzvahs. Frek to Gemara, but I'm going to learn like the Rush. This is a major machlokes rishonim throughout most of the summit or half the summit, so we'll learn like the rest. Frank Tigamar Mushba Vaivid Marsinahu. This shvuah is not chal. You can't swear to do something that you already swore. In Har Sinai, we swore to keep the Torah. That means that every mitzvah we have is shvuah to keep it. I'm sorry?
Where do we swear?
When we did the bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a shvuah. So the question is, you can't swear to put on tefillin because you have a chiyuv to put on tefillin. It's like swearing to eat something and then swearing again to eat something. There's halacha ein shvuah kala shvuah. Something that's already has a shvuah, there's no room for another shvuah. That's the halacha. So if there's no room for another shvuah, when you swear to put on tefillin, it's a meaningless act. So what does the Gemara mean? It's a good thing to swear to keep the mitzvah. It's meaningless. Dr. Rash. I can't hear a word you're saying.
I'm sorry. Where was the shvuah?
By Har Sinai, we made a bris with Hashem. A bris is a covenant. We committed ourselves to keep the Torah and have a covenant with Hashem. That's a shvuah.
Are there words for that?
I don't know what words we used, but that's what it's accepted throughout Shas, that we swore in Har Sinai to keep the Torah, yes?
Would not finish
I don't know if that's a shvuah. That's why I said I'm not going to commit myself. I don't know. Dr. Rash, the Lord Mishma Baimid Mars Maharkai Mitzvah. The Ein Shvua Chala Shvua. I'm sorry? The second Rush on the page. We did the first Rush, so we're on the second Rush. The Lord Mishma Baimidu, Mikai Ma Mitzvah. The Ein Shvua Chala Shvua. Now, why not? What's the source that a Shvua is not Chala and a Shvua? Dr. Rush, the Dashinin Lebe Shvuas, the Gemara in Shvua says, from the words, Milahara Lehetav. A shvua can either be to one hurt oneself, to refrain from something, or to do something good, a positive. Shvua can be done in negative, I won't do. Shvua can be done in positive, I will do. And the pasuk calls that bad and good, meaning negative and positive. We learn out that a shvua can only be if you can do it both ways. But if you can't do it the other way, there's no room for a shvua. A guy can swear he will eat, a guy can swear he won't eat. A guy can swear he will go to somebody's house, he can swear he won't go to somebody's house. He can't swear not to put on tefillin, because he already swore to put on tefillin. So since it's not possible to do on both ways, there's no shvuah. That's how we learn out the concept.
It's possible to do it.
He's not allowed, he's not allowed to, it's not how. You can't swear against something you committed yourself to. It's meaningless, because you have two shvuahs that are contradictory. So therefore, the Torah revealed to us, Laharai Lahetiv, that if you can't do it both ways, neither way works. That's a drasha mesecht shvuah. So there's a concept of shvuah is not chal on shvuah. Not in the positive, and for sure not in the negative. So what does it mean a guy swears to keep a mitzvah? It's a meaningless act. In fact, the Gemara, you're making it sound like it's a noble thing to do. It's a meaningless act.
Is it because of Shem Shmuel Latolo?
No, it doesn't say, again, it's meaningless.
I understand.
I'm
saying that the offshoot from that is
Shiv Shemai. It might be a Shul Shavi.
Sure, yeah.
We learn out that we're only talking about something that's a choice. You can go one way, go the other way. But if you can't have a choice, then it's not a Shavua. And for the Gemara, you're right. Ella HaKamashmalam, back to the Gemara. The Shari Leila Inish Nizuzei Nafshei. This Shavua is not Chal. But a person can use words of Shavua to make himself more diligent, now that we know what Jesus is. Make himself more diligent. Meaning, sometimes a person's lazy. If he swears to put on Tefillin, even though that Shavua is a meaningless Shavua, but at the same time, he will more likely put on Tefillin. It makes him more diligent in doing. And David HaMelech teaches us that that's an allowed thing, and it's not an Aveira, but rather a nice, noble thing to do. Put yourself in a position that you will be better set up to keep the mitzvah. It's not a shvua and hilch. Again, I'm learning the rush. There's Rishonim that argue. I'm learning the rush. That it's okay to do, even though you could claim you're saying a name of Hashem, you're swearing, you're doing all. Teretz is, the purpose of it is to make you do mitzvahs more, so it's an allowed, encouraged way of making yourself more diligent in keeping mitzvahs. Dr. Rush. Let's give the Rush a chance, and then you can ask your question. Ella, HaKamash Malam Deshara Lezuzei Navshei. For they have you mask Hashem Shemayim Lebatala. It's not mentioning Hashem's name in vain. Im Nishba B'Shem, if he swears with Hashem's name. V'im Nishba B'Loi Shem, but if he swears without using Hashem's name. Nami Salkadai Techamina D'Asr. We would still think it's an Asr thing to do. V'eshle Yisragel Adam B'Shvuot. Why should a person be accustomed to start making oaths? V'yavel Ishba Gam Torah Bachem. We don't like people to make oaths. This oath we like people to make. That's the chiddush of David HaMelech. Nishbati v'akayma, lishma mishpat tzikachem. I'm not wearing a mask. Why is the Gemara asking on Rav Gidl? David HaMelech said it and tell him. Ask on David HaMelech. Nishbati v'akayma. What'd you do? For whatever reason, the Gemara asked on Rav Gidl. But the bottom line is David HaMelech is teaching me. We don't like shuas. We don't like mentioning Hashem's name. But this has a positive thing to make yourself more likely or more into keeping the mitzvah. And that's allowed, even though you're swearing, and even though you're mentioning Hashem's name, and it's sure not a shul shav. It's not a shul in vain, because it has a positive purpose. Yes. I'm sorry.
No, you'll be sorry. That's like saying, you know what, if you let me drive to shul on Shabbos, I get 1,000 mitzvahs.
Let him talk. I know what he's trying to say, but it's wrong.
I know it's wrong, but why?
Because David HaMelech is teaching me that a shvua is not usher. Driving to shul on Shabbos will never be mutter for a purpose. David HaMelech is teaching me hilcha shvua. Like, we don't like to mention Hashem's name in vain. We don't like to swear. But this has a positive purpose. And therefore, the Torah never ushered it. That's what David HaMelech is saying. It's like the Torah is saying, you're allowed to drive to Shul Shabbos. David HaMelech is revealing to us halacha. He didn't make it up. He's revealing to us the halacha of Shua. If we had a halacha as pasuk in Tillim that tells us drive to Shul Shabbos, we would say the same thing. But it doesn't say that. It's not usher. That's exactly what David HaMelech is saying. This is not an usher thing for a purpose of mutter.
And to swear without Hashem's name isn't enough to mazarize the person?
Again, you can do it either way. One is the biggest resistance than the other. You mention Hashem's name. Put more on the line. Don't think about it. Now, the next Gemara is a major machlokes rishonim, and it has consequences in halacha. Again, we're learning the Rush, and we pasuk like the Rush. At least, I think we pasuk like the Rush, I should say. So it's going to make, well, the consequences of halacha, we'll talk to the end of the sugya. The Yomer Begidu Amarav. Ha'emer Ashkim Ve'eshna Perik Zeh. A guy says, I will get up tomorrow and learn this Perik. Or Eshna Masechta Zu. I will learn this Masechta. Neder Gadol Nader L'Lekei Yisrael. This is a Neder Hashem. It's a commitment of a neder. Now, this is a very big problem, because since the beginning of Masechtas Nedarim, we talked about the fact that Shvuah is an obligation on person, and Neder is when you ban an item. In fact, we never had a Neder in positive. You can't commit oneself to positive on the item. You can't commit tefillin to be put on. You can commit yourself to put on tefillin. You can commit yourself to eat. You can't commit, you can say, the item is banned from me. You can ban an item, like a carbon. That's the chiddush of neder, that you can ban an item to yourself, to somebody else, just like you can make a carbon, just like you can make hegdish. But we haven't found that you can do something positive with a neder. With a shvuah you can, because shvuah is on the person. A person can commit themselves both positively and negatively. The Gemara here uses the word neder gadol gadol l'kei Yisrael. Therefore, some Rishonim say, the Gemara doesn't mean neder, it means shvuah. It means shvuah. And what it's saying is, a commitment is like a shvuah. You commit yourself to learn that perek, you're committed, and it doesn't mean neder gadol, it means shvuah. That's how some Rishonim learn. The Rush doesn't learn that way. And the Rush learns it means neder. And because he learns it means neder, he runs into a problem, which we just said. Where do we ever find a neder in positive? Zuck the Rush. Neder gadol gadol l'kei Yisrael. Lav haynu neder mamash. This is not what we've been talking about in Masechtas Nedarim, about what a neder is. Ella d'layikri neder el shematras b'davar hanader. The concept of neder is that a person can say this bread is like a carbon. Your property to me is banned like, even if you don't say like, we say you mean like carbon, like hegdish. Ela machshavin alei, where does this come from? Kila nadra tzedaka. There's a pasuk, Gemara in Rosh Hashanah darshins from the word beficha zut tzedaka, that if a person says he will give tzedaka, he's obligated to give tzedaka. Now, the Rush learns that's a new form of neder, because the pasuk there is talking about neder. Doesn't say shvuah in that pasuk. Says neder. And the pasuk says, Kashin Nedar to Lashem Elokecha Beficha. And from the word Beficha, we learn now Zut Tzedaka, that a person can commit himself to giving Tzedaka. You see that the Torah introduced a kind of neder that obligates a person to do a mitzvah. That the Torah introduced a kind of neder that obligates a person to do a mitzvah. Therefore, Dr. Rash, this new concept of neder that the Torah revealed to me in the Pasuk Beficha, and the Rush learns it's neder, not shvuah, because it says, Kashi Nedar to Hashem Elokecha Beficha. So the Pasuk that says that tzedakah can be done with a commitment introduced to me not a real neder, but a new kind of obligation that is under a category of neder, even though it doesn't follow all the rules of neder.
It's not on the object, it's on the person.
It's on the person. Therefore, Dr. Rush, El Machshavina Lei Kilu Neder Tzedaka. Tamina Beperek Kama De Rosh Hashanah Beficha Zu Tzedaka. Yes, Doctor. Can we finish four or five more lines in Gemara? Okay, good, fine. Fresh to Gemara. Valei Mushba Vayim In Mar Sinaihu. Vein Shua Chala Shua. It's a mitzvah to learn. But it's a mitzvah to learn. Tzedakah is not a chiyuv. I don't have a chiyuv to give tzedakah. Of course I have a chiyuv to give tzedakah, but I don't have to give tzedakah now. So then a person can commit himself that he's going to give $100 to tzedakah. It's not a chiyuv that he has to do. I can't walk into the room and say, you're obligated. You're not. You're obligated to give tzedakah under certain circumstances. You're not obligated to promise tzedakah this morning. So therefore, you can obligate yourself to promise tzedakah. To learn is your obligation. So how can you commit yourself, again, we're going to give the Gemara a chance to work it out. How can you commit yourself to learn when you're already committed to learn? Even though you want to learn this new thing called ficha, but aren't you limited to something that's arbitrary to a certain extent? Dr. Rush. You always have to learn. Frek deras ve'avagav d'tnan l'kamam d'perek beis shadadarim kolim al bar mitzvah k'dvar rishos. Later on in the second perek, the Gemara will say there's a difference between a neder and a shua. You can't swear not to sit in a sukkah, because that's going against what you promised in Har Sinai. But a person can say, the sukkah is banned upon me, because he's not directly confronting the mitzvah of sukkah. He's not saying, I won't do sukkah. He's saying, the sukkah is banned on me, so he can't walk into the sukkah, because it's a banned item. That's what the Gemara says in the second parak. We'll discuss it more at length there. That a nedarim can go against the mitzvah by circumventing the mitzvah. The neder doesn't say, I won't sit in the sukkah. That's going against the Torah. The neder says, the sukkah is banned on me. The Torah never said the sukkah can't be banned on you. Well, obviously, if the sukkah is banned on you, you can't sit there, and it's a result of you going against the mitzvah. But we learn that from a pasuk, that the neder is chal. Shul is not chal, neder is chal. So, Dr. Rush, what's bothering us that it's already a shua? We see neder can go against the shua in the Torah. The Dharm is chal on a mitzvah. So maybe the Dharm can be chal and say you learn a second obligation, just like we find you can do the Dharm against the mitzvah. Why can't you do a neder to keep a mitzvah? That's what the Rush is saying. We have a bav, shad a Dharm chal ma Dharm mitzvah darishos. Dr. Rush, hainu b'neder gomer. That's the regular type of neder when you're talking about the item. Shamatris b'davar aser. You're saying this item is banned like something that's already aser, like a carbon, like hegdish. Therefore, we learn that from the word nidin neder l'ashem, b'lamit shechol nadvar mitzvah. Avon neder gehai d'damer l'tzaka. This new type of neder that we're learning out from b'fichas u'tzaka, l'ashem l'rbuya d'yachol nadvar mitzvah. That doesn't go. That's similar to a shvua in the sense that it's about the person, not about the item. That can go on a mitzvah. We can meet a shvua, they're the cholad by mitzvah. Just like a shvua can't go for or against a mitzvah, either can this form of neder, and that's the Gemara's kasha. The leka lemifrach midi b'shvua, the shvua chamura. You can't say maybe shvua can't go against the mitzvah because shvua is severe, but a Kabbalah can. Don't ask such a question, because they share the similarity that it's on the person. And therefore, the person can't do anything that he's already sworn for. So that's why the Gemara says, this type of neder shares the property of Shvua, that it can't go against the mitzvah or for a mitzvah. Inami, Dr. Rush, or another way of expressing this, is how the nedarim chal ma mitzvah and bitu mitzvah. The nedarim is chal mitzvah to circumvent a mitzvah. But if a person would say this nevela is banned, then it wouldn't be chal, because he's not doing anything that's, he can't do it. It's usher already. He can't ban nevela. Nevela is already usher. Guy can say, I banned this nevela on me. Excuse me. The nevela is already banned. The Torah only allowed you to ban sitting in a sukkah, because sitting in a sukkah is not, it's a sukkah. There's no Torah that says sukkah has to be legal to you. Torah says you have to sit in the sukkah. But that the sukkah is legal, is mutter to you or not mutter to you, is not the fairish in the Torah. So you're not hitting the mitzvah direct. You're circumventing a mitzvah. But saying the veil is us from me is going with the mitzvah exactly. And there the Torah never said it. Just like you can't say that the veil is banned on me, you can't say that I have to learn. These are things that you have to do already. By yeshiva sukkah, the sitting in the sukkah being banned or not banned to you, the Torah never said sukkah is not banned. The Torah never said that. The Torah said, you have a mitzvah to sit in the sukkah. If there's a ban on the sukkah, I can't. It's a circumventing of the mitzvah. I don't know if I'm explaining the right words. I'm avoiding a mitzvah. I'm not hitting the mitzvah head on. The Torah never allowed a netter to hit a mitzvah right on, either in a positive or in a negative. The Torah allowed a neder to make the item of the mitzvah banned, so therefore you can't keep the mitzvah. Fine. A few more lines. And for the Gemara, what do you mean over here, neder, 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 neder? Granted, there's a new kind of neder that we derive from the Picha. But what do we mean? So the Gemara, Micah Mashmalon, what are you going to answer me? Daphilus Ruzabalma. That I'm doing it to be diligent. So when I say I'll learn tomorrow, I'm being diligent, and therefore I'll keep it more. I know Rabbi Gibbler Kamaisi, he already said it. Why would he repeat it a second time? And for the Gemara, no, there's a chiddush here. A kamash malon. The kibun the boy patzer nafshe b'kriyas mashach as arvith. Shemachu chayel shu'olay. The answer is that a person can be yaitzer the mitzvah of limud ha'tayra by saying kriyas ma in the morning and kriyas ma at night. Therefore, he's not obligated. Well, I want to word it the right way. So the Rush doesn't explain it well. He just says a line. The other Rishayim say, therefore, what he learns, when he learns, is not the Pharisee in the Torah. The Torah said, make sure you learn by day and by night. Of course, you get a mitzvah for learning every moment, and one should learn as much as they can. But you can't say that the Torah expressed a obligation to learn every spare moment. I shouldn't say that. The Ram learns it differently. Trying to figure out how to say it without undermining the mitzvah of Limud HaTorah. Right, so it's not. The Ram learns, the Torah never befarish made you learn all the time. The Torah said, that's what the Ram says. I'll tell you how the Ram says it. Right. So the Ram says, of course you have to learn as much as you can. But he says it's not befarish in the pasuk. Since it's not the Pharisee in the Pasuk, it's not Mushba Vaimid Mahar Sinai. Therefore, the Kabbalah works. The Kabbalah works. Because the Torah never said the Pharisee you have to learn all the time. The Torah said you have to learn morning and night, day and night. Of course, we learn out that you have to learn all the time. But we learn it out from a drasha, the Pharisee Pasuk is to learn by day and by night. Therefore, this Shavua can be Chal. This Kabbalah can be Chal. This is a source to the concept of Kabbalah L'Dvar Mitzvah. Everybody who says, I'll do this, we always tell them to say B'li Neder. Because this is the source. When a person commits himself to do a mitzvah, right, if it's obligatory, it's meaningless. A shua on shua, or a neder on a shua, whatever it is. There's never such a law. But if it's something that's more arbitrary, I'm going to daven at the 6 o'clock window. You don't have to daven at the 6 o'clock window. And yet,
learning.
So this is the source when we tell people your Kabbalah should be made B'li Neder, because Kabbalah, now according to the Rav, Kabbalahs go under the Shua categories. The Rush is Machadish, the Beficha Zutzaka is a new concept of Neder that concludes Kabbalah L'Dvar Mitzvah. That's why we tell people, always say B'li Neder when you accept upon yourself something. Because if it's a Dvar Mitzvah, learn out Beficha Zutzaka, that there's a new category of obligation. Yes, Doctor.
So the amazing brain can remember all three, essentially, term one and three. The most minor is this works very well with the broad concept of every moment you spend a sukkah and every piece of pasta that you eat is an independent mitzvah. That you, you have discharged your mitzvah doing this one time initially. But each one now is independent mitzvah, therefore can be covered by something such as this one. That's minor. The second, I thought the episode in the second parak was where someone utters specific sukkah. I will not sit in this sukkah.
No.
I will not sit in
this. I will see the second parak, no.
Okay, so I remember incorrectly. Finally, most importantly, the implication of the beginning of the discussion is that a negative thing, not want to say, is the same thing as being over on the law, that there is this negative implication. However, the punishment...
I don't know where you see that.
It's been too long. Now,
we're talking about a positive here. We're not talking about a negative.
I'm aware of that. There is a negative injunction not to be in that by skipping the learning that which is being modeled, that there is a negative force now saying don't do that. You have to do that.
The Yahoo. The Yahoo Devaray.
Right. So in which case, why is there a difference between the punishment of the consequence of being mabadal in the day and being over on the love.
I mean, the question to boil down is, if I swore in Sinai to keep every mitzvah, so every time I don't put on tzoron, I'm about to liyachu Torah, which I did in Sinai. That's your question.
Yeah.
I don't have an answer. All our neshamas. Whatever way you learn that. Rabbi Weinberg had a unique way of understanding that. Most people say the neshamas were in Sinai, and they committed, that's what it says, and they committed themselves. Rabbi Weinberg learned, this was his approach, that Klal Yisrael is a body. A person does not have any cells of his original birth, except his brain cells. All cells change. So are you a different person now because you have new cells? You're still the same person. But every part of you is different than it was 10 years ago. Again, I made up the number 10 years. I'm not going to get it wrong. They're all new cells. So it says the body stays the same. The cells change, but it's the same body. He learned the body of Klal Yisrael swore. We are different cells in the body of Klal Yisrael. So we replaced the previous generation's cells. So now, we are the body. But it's the same body. That was his approach to how everybody is committed to mitzvahs. Again, I'm not getting involved in this discussion. So are the Rebbe Glare.
Rebbe, we learned that if you ban a person on yourself, you could be a moil for your child, right? You can be a moil for
because
your child.
Because a mitzvah is lava henesnit. That's
right.
If you ban pleasure.
Right, so if you ban
But if you ban an action, he cannot. If you ban pleasure, I don't get pleasure from a mitzvah. So mitzvahs aren't for pleasure, so I didn't get pleasure if he's the mile of my kid. But if I ban an action of sitting in a sukkah, whether I get pleasure or don't get pleasure, the action of sitting is banned. The Gemara, this is all going to be spoken out. This is not, this is coming up. Yes?
That's beautiful. I mean, it also has to be.
Again, you know, you don't mind, I accept my Rebbe's word without Haskama, so.
I can appreciate it,
but it has actually, in many places, each member of Klal Yisrael is a male that are united in one body, but also
again, it's where I'm to something. I just mentioned it. Say how he swore in high scene.
I don't want to.
Yeah, Gerim is a different story. Gerim, according to the Gra, are the people of the other nations that wanted to accept the Torah back then.
I understand. We're making a big thing out of it.
Just... Yeah, the Gemara is, yes. The Gemara is making a big thing out of it, yes.
Nedru Gadol, Nedru Yisro. Oh, it said the word Nedru, right? A second later it says, Halo Mushba Omidhu.
So what it's saying is, there's no difference in
that's
Nedru.
Right. So why can't we just learn Pashut?
That's how the Rav learns. The Rav learns like,
what we're doing now is,
you can write a letter to the Rush, why he didn't want to learn like the Rav, but he didn't want to learn like the Rav. I can't help him.
What is it now? What are we doing now? We're making a Nedru and then, what?
Again, the reason Nedru is different than Shvua is because Nedru is on the item and the Shvua is on the person.
We knew that.
This new form of Nedru that's derived from the Ficha is like Shvua. That's what the Gemara is saying. The Ran is saying there's no such new concept of Nedru. Nedru is always on the item. There is no Beficha Zutzdaka that introduced a new type of Nedru. That's Shvua. That goes in the category of Shvua, not Nedru. So either Gemara calls it Nedru. The Gemara means Shvua. The Rush is saying, we introduced a new concept of Nedru. But it works in the same form of a Shvua because it's on the person. So if you want to call it semantical, you can call it semantics. You don't, I'm not getting involved in that. Dr. Rush writer, Michael Mashmalon, the Sharlay Linus Yusin Absher, L'chashinu Shem Yisragu B'Nedarim. We're not afraid that he's going to make war in Nedarim. Highly forgive the Kamaisa. Hakamash Malan keeping the boy Pater Nafshay, Shemachi Chai L'Shvua Lei. L'Habi Chayva, the Rush's Lashon is, it is not an obligation to learn The next morning, the Rav disagrees. He says it is an obligation. Ela Rishus. As long as you learn twice, once in the morning, once in the evening, you did your mitzvah. There's no more obligation. It's a chiddush in the Rush. The Ron argues on that. You could say, I will learn tomorrow morning. You could say, I won't learn tomorrow morning. Therefore, there's room for this shvuah to be chal, this kabbalah to be chal. Because it is arbitrary. You don't have to learn tomorrow morning. That's how the Rush says. The Ron disagrees. The Ron says there's a mitzvah to learn every minute, which is the way most places seem to pass. Not like the Rush. They say there's a mitzvah to learn every minute. If you're busy, as long as you learn once a day, once at night, you're yaitz in a mitzvah. But you have a mitzvah, but it's not the farish of the pasuk. Since it's not the farish of the pasuk, therefore, a shvuah can be chal on it. So the Ron says, on your side, shvuah can't go on a mitzvah that's the farish of the pasuk. Anything that we learn out from the drasha is not mushba by midmar sinai. Doesn't have that milah that we can't commit ourselves to it because it's not the farish of the pasuk. That's the Ron's chiddush. The Ron has a problem. What do you mean you don't have to learn all day? You do have to learn all day. Dr. Ran, the halacha of Musba Ba'imid is only in a something beferish in the pasuk. The Rush says it's not Musba Ba'imid. Period, because it's Harishus. The Rush seems to argue with the Ran about how much I'm obligated to learn. The Ran's saying I'm obligated to learn all the time. He says it's learned off in the pasuk, Rishinantam Levenecha, she's Devei Tire Bechudadim Beficha. You have to know Tire as well as you can, you have to learn all the time. And the Rush says it's Harishus. So there's a Machlekes Rishinim here. I just wanted to point out both shittas because we paskin or we tell. I mean, I don't know where it says. You have to learn as much as you can all the time. Now, I just want to go back to one piece of Rush. I don't know if I spent enough time on it. The Rush has a problem with the Gemara in the second parak. But the Gemara in the second parak says a person can make a netter against the mitzvah. So what are you telling me that you can't make this against the mitzvah because Mushba Vayman, the Gemara says netter is not included in Mushba Vayman. That's what the Gemara says in the second parak. Dr. Rush, two terutzim. One time, Dr. Rush, that said for the halacha of the regular netter. This new type of netter is not included in that. Only the netter that talks about banning an item, because it's talking about the item. This new type of netter that we introduce is talking about the person. That's not included in the Gemara in the second parak. The second time, Dr. Rush, is even a netter, an item, it can only go on something that the Torah didn't explicitly tell us one way or the other. Like sitting in a sukkah. The Torah says there's a mitzvah to sit in a sukkah, but the Torah never said the sukkah can't be banned. But let's say a person would ban himself from the nevela. The real netter. This nevela is banned on me. It wouldn't work, because the Torah already banned it. The only time the Gemara allows a netter to go against the mitzvah is when the Torah didn't directly discuss what you're doing. The Torah says there's a mitzvah to sit in the sukkah. The Torah never said the sukkah has to be legal to me. If I ban the sukkah, I don't have a sukkah. I circumvented a mitzvah, but I didn't take it on head on, either negatively or positively. But if a person bans in the nevela, he is reinforcing the tyrant. That's much b'vayim, but even on another, that's what the Rush's second teretz is. According to the first teretz, it's mashma that if a guy would ban himself from the nevela, it would be chal, because that's on the item. And on the item, there's no much b'vayim. Again, I don't know, but there's the two terutzim in the Rush. I just don't know if I spent enough time explaining that.
It's interesting that you could say that, and that I think Rav Gil said, but there's a common denominator between what Rav Gil is saying now and what we had last week. That something that's not Beferush is in Hegesh Bemechsa.
Right, similar thing.
I don't know if anyone thought about that.
I don't know either. That's a Kabbalah Dvar Mitzvah. That's a Kabbalah Dvar Mitzvah. That's the Beficha Zuzat. It's a Kabbalah on oneself. Again, according to the Rush, it's a new type of netter. According to the others, it's a Shua. It's a Shua.
How about a person said, I answer all Sukkos, not just my own sukkah.
No, he does.
All sukkah.
100%. It's chal. We'll leave that for the second paragraph. The second paragraph says it's the first. Yes?
Then he gets it in an onus, Rahman
Apatri? I don't think so. I think it's a self inflicted. Did I take my advice? Yeah, I did. I think I did. That's the next Gemara. We haven't learned the Gemara yet. The third statement. And by the way, why this is here is because we started with Rav Gidla Marav of the Amud Beis. He was the one that said he could put himself in Chayrim and take it off. So we got to go. Amar Rav Gidla Marav. Somebody says to his friend, let's get up tomorrow and learn this Verik. Olav Lahashkim, he has to get up first. It's upon him to be there early. He's got to be there because he is the one that gave the incentive. Shem said to Yecheskel, go out to the valley and I will speak to you. Hashem was waiting for me. He's the one that said to go out, so he was there first. So Dr. Gidl, that a person who says, let's go learn, has to make it his business to be there first. Again, I don't know if in this case it is an obligation or a correct thing to do. Dr. Ash, Allah Lahashkim, Allah Imr Lahashkim Tchila, Kamashim Atsinu, Shaham HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yecheskel, Kum Tzei, El Abika, V'Shem Adab Ra'ishchok, Shabo Shama, Kahaya Kvayt Hashem Oymed, Hashem's covenant was already there. So the Rush learns, I mean the Ron learns, the Rush doesn't get involved in detail, but the Ron learns that it becomes an obligation. The Kabbalah is Remitzah. Let's get up and learn tomorrow. He just was macabre with himself to get up and learn tomorrow. But he says, Bli Neder. The Kabbalah is Remitzah. But the saying that he should be there first is part of what he, because we see from Hashem that he did that, so the person should get there first. That's what the Gemara seems to say. The Ram learns that was part of the Kabbalah. By being the one to say, let's go learn, he's saying, I'm going to be there first. Again, Kabbalah Dvar Mitzvah does not have necessarily Yachol Dvar. It doesn't necessarily have Yachol Dvar in a Kabbalah Dvar Mitzvah. It's a new category of an obligation.
Whenever anybody says anything, it's obligated. If I say I'm going to come every morning at 6:30, 6, 7, 9.
A mitzvah. If you say I'm going to go to the barber tomorrow morning, it's okay. You don't have to go. You don't have to keep your word when you say I'm going to the restaurant tomorrow.
If I say I'm going to learn at 3 o'clock, and then I don't, I'm over?
Unless you say Billy Netter. So there's a heter here. I don't like the paskin here. Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld and other Achroinim have a heter. And this is a, for me, a world-saving heter. But it's a damn sack. I'm not sure everybody agrees. Every Erev Rosh Hashanah, besides doing Ataras Nedarim, which is questionable what we're doing, we also say that all the Nedarim of the next year are null and void. There's a big machloikis whether that's meaningful or not. Some Rishayim say it's meaningless. We don't count on it. Only under certain circumstances. And some Rishayim say that it is meaningful. We're machmer. If a person makes a neder, we don't say it's null and void because of its kabbalah or Rosh Hashanah. We make the person be matan a neder. However, Yitzchak Chaim says, on kabbalah, l'dvar mitzvah, that helps. And therefore, b'di'evet, because he didn't keep it, he can rely on the fact that on Erev Rosh Hashanah he said, I don't count. Now, that doesn't always work. We will see when we get to the Gemara about doing this on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Rather than talk about it. And we'll see then, it's not so simple, it always works. But usually it works. So, Rabbi Yechiel Chaim is a lifesaver, because a person says, I'll be there tomorrow at 3 o'clock, and he doesn't show up. So, according to Rabbi Yechiel Chaim, he nullified. And for that it works, because he didn't make a beferish neder, and he didn't make a beferish shvua. It's a Kabbalah Bar Mitzvah, and he holds Rabbi Yechiel Chaim Paskins and a few other Paskim, that it works. Again, same thing. Yes.
The first time, or every time?
No, Tchila means to be there first.
Be there first.
What do you mean?
Every day.
That's not what he said. He said, let's learn tomorrow.
Right.
Naskim Benishna doesn't mean every day. It means let's get up tomorrow to work. So he has to be there first.
Every day he has to be there first?
He only did it for one day.
Only one day?
He only did the Kabbalah for one day. Didn't say Naskim Benishna every morning. Naskim Benishna tomorrow. That's the case in the Gemara.
They made a potato, that's all he uploaded. They should be first.
He has to be there first.
Every day.
There's no, I mean, if they made it every day, I don't know. I'm not possible.
No,
I understand.
If they made up, they can learn every day. He has to be Nashkin every day.
If we made up, does that mean I was first? I don't know. I welcome to say, let's make a Seder. So now I have to be there every day? I don't know. I don't know.
Is the Kabbalah and Zimun have anything to do with each other?
I have no idea what you are talking about. What is Zimun?
We had a Shiloh with Zimun. You Zimun with the second base of Kisei, right?
That's a Kabbalah. That's nothing to do with the Kabbalah myself.
You're something that's not there. You're saying this is what it is. Meaning,
it's not a Kabbalah.
What is it? What's
I that? Designated this to base of Kisei. The question is, does the designation mean anything in halacha?
It's the Dibur, that's why.
Again, Dibur can be used for a million things. It has nothing to do one with the other. Not a Dvar Mitzvah. Not a Dvar Mitzvah to designate a bathroom.
The point of it is that...
You want to talk about power of Dibur?
Right.
Yes.
Says,
we see
them are meaningful.
100%.
Okay,
yes.
So in both ways...
Yeah, I can throw to him a million other ways. Words are very meaningful. We daven, we say Kriya Shema, we learn Torah, we speak... Far B'Talim, Rechmanu L'Tzlan, Lashon Hara, Rechilos. Yes, words are very powerful. Very powerful. So that's another time that words are powerful, but it has nothing to do with the concept of Kabbalah Bar Mitzvah. There's no mitzvah to make a bathroom. There might be a mitzvah to make a bathroom, but there's no mitzvah to designate one now. That's the Gemara, right? Yes. That's the Gemara, right? I'm Rav Yitzchak. The Dovah B'Chavayim, if a person had a dream, and in the dream they excommunicated him. Tzarech Yud B'nei Adam B'Hatriloi. Unlike a regular Kherem that doesn't need 10 people to remove, this one needs 10 people to remove. Zakht Rosh. Tzarech Asarech B'nei Adam B'Hatriloi. Why? The Dovah B'Chavayim. Yesh Lachosh. We have to worry. Shema b'shlichus hamakom nisnada. Maybe Hashem sent a message that he is an excommunicated. We don't know. We don't know how to interpret dreams, but it's concerning. Tzarech asara b'nei adam lahatzalai. Why? Da'kol be asara yesh shchina. Whenever there are 10 Jews, there's a shchina. V'aruhutzalai ba'is sebezim shenisnada. Therefore, the presence of the shchina makes it that the same Bezen that put him into excommunication, which is the message from Hashem, is now releasing him because Hashem is there with the tenyan. So what the Gemara is saying is he's not stuck for life. He can be removed, but it has to be removed with the Shekhinah present. So to get the Shekhinah present, you need 10 people.
Rabbi?
Yes.
If dreams are so important in this way, if they're so meaningful in this way, should I have to ask forgiveness if I, in my dream, assaulted someone? Or should I be able to demand forgiveness if someone assaulted me in a dream, et cetera, et cetera? Why is this different?
Because between you and your friend, whoever assaults somebody, you're asking Mechila for assaulting him. The mice said nobody assaulted anybody. There's nothing to ask forgiveness for. Now, whether it's a message from Hashem, by being careful with a relationship, maybe. We're going to see in a minute that there's a lot of Dvarim B'Talim in dreams also. We're not sure that this is a message from Hashem, but it's a very heavy concept that we have to worry about it. If a person sees in a dream that he beat somebody up, but he didn't beat him up, there's nothing to ask forgiveness for. It might be a message that he's not careful in how he treats the other person. It might not be a message. There's a lot of Dvarim B'Talim in dreams. Most of our dreams are Dvarim B'Talim. Right. Either it comes because we thought about something by day, or it comes by shadim. There's all different kinds of things. But here, this is might we don't know. It might also be a Dvarim B'Talim dream. We're not sure, but it's something we don't want to play with. So we say you have to have the Shekhinah remove the Kherem. How do you have the Shekhinah remove the Kherem? You have 10, and then we'll see in a moment that it's not any 10. It's not so simple. Yes.
So my question is, why do we have to be more careful with cherem than we do with something else?
Because other things are ben adam l'chaveiro. It didn't happen. I don't have to ask forgiveness because I wanted to kill somebody. I only have to ask forgiveness if I beat somebody up. I hurt him. Wanting to hurt somebody didn't hurt him. So there's no reason to ask forgiveness. This is not something that depends on an action that I did or didn't do. This is a message from Hashem. And a message from Hashem is rather serious. So
I'll let it go. I just don't hear the difference. Is cherem a different category because it comes from Hashem instead of from the community? I don't understand the difference.
See, if a person dreams that the community put him in excommunication, he still has to have 10 people remove it. Because it might be a way Hashem is sending him a message that Hashem wants him excommunicated. I don't think it applies to anything else. I don't see an analogy in this case. Because you're talking about hurting somebody who didn't get hurt. Excommunication is Hashem's message here.
Okay, all right.
You can't say Hashem's message that you hurt him. You didn't hurt him. Right?
But you weren't in cherem either.
But this is the way Hashem's putting you in cherem. Hashem can put a person in cherem.
That was what my question was. Hashem himself can put you in cherem. Therefore, if it's something that Hashem could do, that's when you have to, you can invoke
correct.
The dream as a... Okay, all right.
That's not true.
One, I wouldn't underestimate the ability of Shade to tell the future. Number two, the real question, is where do we get 10? I mean, as far as prejudging, there.
Again, so the Archaim HaKadosh has a very long, arich, not a long piece, I forgot where, that he says, the Gemara says, when 10 learn Shkin Yishayra, when 5 learn Shkin Yishayra, when 3 learn Shkin Yishayra, when 2 learn, like the Archaim, they're all different kinds of levels of Shkinah. The level of 10 Shechina is the one we need here.
If Hashem sends your message to be in cherem, then maybe you should get 10 people to put you in cherem.
What?
Maybe you should get 10 people to put you in cherem.
No, there, if he's put, he's put.
Huh?
If he's put into cherem, he doesn't need 10 people to put him in cherem.
Well, the man, he got a dream, had a dream.
The dream said that certain people put him in cherem.
But he's not in cherem.
He is in cherem. The dream puts him into harem because maybe it's real. We'll cover this tomorrow, everybody.